Welcome to the Survivors Podcast. This series sheds light on the previously untold experiences of Tasmanian women and children who have escaped domestic violence and abuse, finding refuge and support at Gyra House. The first-hand accounts of resilience, healing, and self-discovery shared within these episodes are a must-listen and incredibly powerful. If you find anything triggering within these podcasts, please know that help is available 24/7, 7 days a week, 1-800-RESPECT. I'm your host, Esther Nichols, and Judy joins us now.
Hi.
You were here 25 years ago.
Correct.
With whatever you're comfortable with sharing, what was the situation you were in and how did you come to be at Gyra House 25 years ago?
Well, Sophia, mental, physical, emotional abuse to the point that I didn't feel safe anywhere. Living in the country for part of it, isolated from everyone.
Your partner?
Yes.
Moved you to a place where you were isolated?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Was it slow and insidious at some point, had that mask and then increasingly got worse or...?
Yeah. There's the part that it's nice and rosy and everything's good and you're just getting to know each other. And then before my daughter was born, things were bad then. And I thought maybe having this child will change things, but no, things got worse.
Got worse with the child or whilst you were pregnant?
Yeah.
Upped the abuse?
Yeah. When my daughter was born, I whispered in her ear that it won't always be like this.
And you left not long after that?
She was 18 months old. I left twice. I left once when she was 9 months old. But he tracked me down pretty quick. And I got too scared and went back. Because I went to my family at the time. And he tracked me down pretty quick and threatened them and everything. So I'm just like, no, I'll go back.
You were scared for your family's safety as well.
Yep.
And that's a really common...
So I went back, but after that I thought, no, I can't keep going back. And my family said, we'll never talk to you again if you do, because they all had to move around as well because they were being threatened and whatnot.
For people that haven't been through something like that, it is hard for people to, and I've had my own experiences with it, but it's hard to explain to people why you stay.
Well, for me it was trying to find time to get away.
Yes. You don't feel safe.
No, you don't feel any time. Yes, you got a time. I had to hide on a bus on the floor with the baby because I thought you'd drive past and see me. So,
how long were you in that relationship for?
4.5 years.
And was there a moment when you went, right, I can get out now? What led to that moment? You tried to leave previously.
Well, never ever really left me alone, but this one particular time he'd left something at home when we went shopping. And there was a bus stop right across the road. So, and there was a bus there. So that was my go.
And did you leave with anything? I mean, obviously.
No, just my baby.
Wow.
Yeah, just the clothes on her back and my baby.
What happens? Because obviously this wasn't, you didn't have that plan. You saw an opportunity.
Yep.
You went, this is it. I have to do it.
Yep.
You fled. What happens next?
I ended up at Gyra House.
And how did you find out about Gyra House?
Well, the first time that I fled, I heard about it from police.
So the first time you'd heard about the name but you didn't come?
No.
So you've literally got the clothes on your back, you're on a bus, you call Gyra House, and what happens next?
They say come down, and I came down here.
So immediately?
Yeah. Came in and the rest of it's pretty much a...
a blur or...?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a little while it was a blur and then... Moved out into one of the units and but ended up having to come back because he worked out where that unit was. I had a house, just got the curtains up, housing house. He worked out where that was.
When you came into Gyro House that first night, those first few weeks, did you feel supported and safe? And
Yeah. As safe as I could feel.
Yes.
I never felt totally safe.
Because had that not been here,
yeah,
what was the next alternative for you?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Because there can be that fear too of going to a family's house because they'll find you and then...
It's just
going to
spark more stuff.
How long were you in Gyro House for?
Off and on for a few years.
And when you say off and on, is that you would move out somewhere he'd find out?
Yep.
Are you kidding? And then you'd come back. So you always had this safety net.
Yeah, of coming back, yeah.
Knowing you were safe.
Yeah.
So a couple of years in and out.
Correct. Just trying to find some stability for my child.
How was it raising a child from 18 months over those couple of years?
Difficult because you're trying to do with your own stuff as well.
Yeah. But a lot better than the alternative of...
Yes, trying to do it while you're in that situation, yes.
What an incredible thing, a gift to give to your daughter.
Yeah.
How's your daughter now?
She's good. She's good.
What was it like 25 years ago trying to flee a domestic violence situation? Because I felt like there was a lot of ignorance, and I think there still is.
Is it all overwhelming? You didn't know what you were doing or whether you were doing the right thing or, yeah, stigma in a way that, oh, the way people, look at you, well, why couldn't you just worked it out? Everyone fights.
Did you feel that you were victim blamed?
Yeah. I got that from my family a few times, like, why did I stay for so long? And
where the question should be, why did he do that?
Yeah, correct.
Have you seen a change in the way society views it?
Well, I think it's still pretty much the same, so... They talk about all this stuff that they're gonna do about domestic violence and stuff, but it's still about funding to help the women leave, not funding to deal with the problem.
Yeah. Fast forward 25 years. What's life like now for you?
Good. Yeah.
You're very successful. That's what we'll say.
Yeah.
Very successful. On so many levels and so many fronts.
Yeah.
I just think you're incredible for sharing that story and so brave. And I've got Nell with us here as well. Now, you started Gyro House. We're going to get into the details of that. But how do you feel hearing Judy's story today?
Oh, well, I guess it's so encouraging to hear a person who is now leading a very successful life and has a very successful career, and even though it was a difficult journey that went on for really way too long, sometimes you think that there should be better solutions for being able to resettle people quickly. Mm. But it's, I guess, one of the policies that we had right from the beginning. We wanted to have an open door policy and say to people, you can come back. It doesn't matter how many times you actually come back. The door is always open here. You're not letting us down by leaving and coming back again. You know, you're always, there's always a safe either room or a unit or a house here for you. So it's very nice to hear that you felt that you could come back several times and work through the solutions to move forward. And you've done that really, really well. So it's a really nice story to hear. And we are very encouraged because it gives us encouragement in working with other people that, you know, Gyro House does meet the needs of people that are at risk of homelessness and at risk of, you know, going back into a bad relationship. So very nice to hear.
And no doubt 3,000 stories like this as well.
Yep.
That's how many women have come through Gyro House since 40 years ago, and 4,000 children.
Yeah.
We were talking just before about 25 years ago what the perception was of domestic violence and that victim blaming or shaming. Mm. But you started this 40 years ago. Mm. How did you start Gyra House and what was it like in terms of society?
Domestic violence was virtually not discussed openly in the community. I don't think 40 years ago we even had restraining orders, or if they were there, they certainly weren't, you know, utilised as a standard response. So women didn't feel comfortable to go to the police to tell their stories. So quite often it was family members first that found out about what was going on. And like we were discussing before, it wasn't safe to go and stay with a family member. And then there was also discussion about removing the abusive man from the house so that the woman could stay with her children in the house. But that didn't feel safe either. So Gyra in those days had a shelter that had six separate bedrooms. So a mum had to share her bedroom with her child or children. As time went on, we got additional units, separate units and separate houses, so that families, you know, could stay together in a sort of more normal environment. But, yeah, it was a different era, and domestic violence, certainly you didn't sort of turn on the TV and see stories about like you do today. And it doesn't look like the incidence of domestic violence has decreased, even with all the education and all the programs and services that are around.
So Gyra House, what was that moment when what led you to start? So you said six-bedroom house and you've got 16.
Yes.
And you're the only 24/7 crisis.
In Kingborough and the Huon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was that moment when you thought, I'm going to start?
Oh, well, we just had a discussion. We'd heard about a couple of young teenage girls that were pregnant and that had nowhere to go. And we just had a discussion that as, a, you know, a Christian community that we should respond in some way. So once there was a little bit of just discussion, one of the local business people, community members who was part of a church came forward and said he would donate a six-bedroom house with no strings attached and just handed over the keys to this house where we're sitting right now. So that was a pretty amazing way that it happened. And from there on, it didn't take very long for the word to get out that the women's shelter was opening in 4 weeks, and within a couple of, you know, weeks it was absolutely full, and the community were amazing. Like, everything was donated, like furniture and everything you could possibly need to set up was all just dropped off at the front door without really us even going, you know, out into the community to ask. So the community were 100% on board right from the start. So that was that was very encouraging.
So over those 40 years, and how were children viewed? Because obviously it's women and children this shelter is for. Yeah. What was that like at that time? Were children just a number? Were they...
Well, sadly, they weren't even a number, because we had to report to the government how many women were being accommodated each week, and we had to give monthly data. And children were not even counted. We just counted the women. And it was several years down the track when the government said, oh, well, maybe you should tell us how many children are there. We did have childcare, so there was a childcare worker that did activities with the kids. So, but, yeah, we didn't really realise the impact of domestic violence, I don't think, on children in the way that we do now. And it's much more trauma-informed, and, you know, counselling is offered to children if they need assistance in that way. But certainly children were not... And it also didn't, it wasn't recognised that children are actually impacted greatly by what they've seen, and that them being very well behaved and quiet was not necessarily an indicator that they were happy and settled.
Or could be fear.
Yeah, absolutely, walking on eggshells because of what they've seen.
Most recently, you know, we've seen huge protests across the country and people really standing up against violence towards women and kids. We still have a long way to go, clearly.
We do.
We're still losing too many lives.
Absolutely.
What needs to be done?
Well, I think there's quite a few things. I think one is that women who can't be accommodated by the shelters are not just turned away and put in a motel somewhere on their own, but that there's more support available to women who, for whatever reason, can't come into a shelter, so that they're not left totally isolated in the community but that other support is offered to them.
Well, yes, because on that, Gyro House has to turn away a lot of women and children.
Yeah, as do all the other shelters in Tasmania. Yeah.
I mean, I always think, where do these women and children go? Mm. I mean, we just heard, Judy, your incredible story before, and saying you don't know where you would have gone if you couldn't get into Gyro House.
Well, some women sleep in cars, you know, which is totally unacceptable and scary. And I think the men who are abusive, they should be contacted and offered support so that their attention can be directed into helping them to deal with the problem rather than focusing all on sort of one area. I think men do need to be assisted in providing, you know, alternative.
Do you think the laws are tough enough in Tasmania?
It's probably more how they're implemented.
Judy says no.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
And often restraining orders aren't followed up by the police.
No, they're not.
A lot of people say it's a piece of paper with...
That's right.
You know, and a lot of women complain that it really doesn't... They don't put them into practice.
No, it's correct.
So Gyro House, 40 years on, there's 16 places now.
Mm.
But we need to try and get these women and children housed, looked after, in shelters, protected, safe, accessing your resources.
Mm.
What do you need? What can anyone that's listening to this, how can they help? And I know, as very beautiful people like you are, asking for money or donations is really tough.
Yeah.
Mm.
But you need about $150,000 to keep these houses going, because the costs of living
and running well. I mean, one of the big problems is the cost of private rental, that the rent is so high that women, it's no option to move into private rental because it's the rent is just way out of their reach. For public housing in this area, to have more houses available would be fantastic. I mean, Gyro House is very grateful for all the donations that we currently receive, and it's amazing what is donated. People will give a financial donation. They might drop off furniture for someone to assist a woman moving into her new home. People drop off food and clothing, but it's more about the bigger picture of also providing some of the support, the counselling and support for maybe women that don't come into Gyro House but that have contacted us and said we need help, to do some outreach visits to some of the outreach houses would be really fantastic.
If you can help in any way, and look, it could just be sharing this podcast, sharing the story of Gyro House, that is enough. And if you can give more, then it's always greatly appreciated, of course. And there's more details on how you can do that at gyrohouse.org.au. What an amazing woman you are, Judy.
Yeah.
Really amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I know it can't be easy to go back sometimes and do that, but for anyone that's maybe listening to this or anyone that's thinking about leaving, what would your advice be to...
Leave. Yeah. If it's not good, leave. Yeah, there's help out there.